Yesterday, we talked about two of the six different types of sexual affairs that are out there. We talked about the one-night stand and the entangled friendship. But the dirty little secret that no one wants to talk about is this. After an affair, you have to go to the doctor. And why? Well, let's find out. Wake the faith up, Slayer! Hope you're having an amazing Thursday. You know, my heart is this. As you've been listening to the How to Affair-Proof Your Wedlock, I hope that you can listen to it with a clear conscience and be like, man, I'm glad I never walked down that road. And if by chance you have, I hope you can realize that God's forgiveness washes you clean. And His grace can strengthen you to never go down that road ever again. So, today's podcast is guilt-free. Brought to you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, do you need a website? Check out websticks.com. My buddy Tony Herman, his company is amazing, and he's the coolest cat on the net. Also, thanks for reaching out to me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. And yes, this series so far has brought a few emails, insights, ideas, lots of questions, and keep them coming. I will get back to all of you, I promise. Listen, I want to start out by reconnecting dots from yesterday's podcast. In it, I said that the one-night stand is the easiest one to overcome, and listen to the podcast to understand why, but I wanted to reiterate that does not mean if you're going to have an affair, have a one-night stand. That does not give you the right, nor the hint, nor the seed of thought in your mind. Well, if I have one-night stands, they're okay because there's no emotional connection. No, not true at all. Because once you have an affair, you get to play what's my disease? Yeah, you need to go to the doctor, get tested, and find out if you've now been infected with one of the 13 to 17 different STDs that are out there. Because listen, you do not want to take that into your marriage bed without telling your spouse. Yeah, fun times, right? These are some of the things we don't think about when having sexual affairs. So let's jump into the last four types of sexual affairs. The third one is sexual addiction. It's really not about the person. It is about the sexual addiction and drug addiction that the brain has. A sex addict gets high off of sex. And many times for women, it's about control. They might entice you emotionally. They might connect with you emotionally. They might do or say whatever they feel like you need to hear in order to simply get you into bed because it's an addiction. They might go to sleep with you once, twice, 50 times. You might think that this is a real relationship. It's meeting my needs, when in turn, it's just simply a sexual addiction. Now, if that's you, the sexual addict, you need to get professional help because it doesn't just affect your marriage, it affects every area of your life. You're an addict, and you know as well as I do, it's not about the sex because that doesn't satisfy. It's about the addiction. So get help. But that's the third type of sexual affair that's out there. What's number four? It's the add-on affair, and this is one of the most dangerous ones to slip into. What do I mean by that? You've got a great marriage, but you're emotionally drained from a spouse who is more like a roommate than a wife. And all of a sudden, someday, someone comes along and they emotionally awaken you. They turn you on, they push your buttons, they light your fire, whatever you call it. And all of a sudden you're like, I love my wife. I love my marriage. But this person does something for me that my wife has never done. And so you begin to be emotionally entangled. And pretty soon you become sexually entangled as well. And what you don't realize in an add-on affair is it seems like it's okay. It seems the most justified of any type of affair that you might have because you generally can say with a clear conscience, I do love my wife. I don't want to get a divorce. I just really feel more connected to this other woman. Danger. Danger. We talked about this yesterday. Number five is the reconnection affair. And this has been the biggest one coming down the pike the last 15, 20 years with the internet. You know, the reconnection affairs where you jump on Facebook and you're like, I wonder what my old girlfriend looks like. I wonder what she's doing. And all of a sudden, you reach out to her. You say, hey, I can't believe I found you. Hope life's good. And you realize she's single. You realize she's divorced. You realize she's unhappy. You begin to talk back and forth. And all of a sudden, this flame from the past is rekindled. And you think, oh, how can this happen? How did this? Probably the best example I heard regarding this is something that I can relate to in my life. In high school, I had a 1969 Cutlass with a 455. And at one point, I had the muffler taken off, and the headers were the only thing straight off the block. And when you pushed on the gas, that sucker sounded like just pure heaven. It was just, it just dripped horsepower. And you get in there, you'd hit that gas, you'd peel out, you're speeding down the road, and this sucker was, this was mint. It was cherry. Well, you know what? You reconnect with that old girlfriend, and she makes you feel like that car. You feel young again. You feel 17 again. You feel invincible again. And what you don't realize, it's fleeting. So you become sexually involved only to realize way too late after throwing your marriage away that it was just simply a fad. You threw your marriage away for a fad. And the reconnection affair right now is probably the number one affair because of the internet. Now, what's the last type of affair? This is the seductive personality pattern. In fact, our culture has grown this as an actual demographic in our country. What is the seductive personality pattern? This one is huge in today's world. It's the person who wants to seduce a married person because they feel like they can fix them. They can heal them. They can complete them. They can make them normal. They see you with a wedding ring, and they think, whoo, he's got a proven track record. And this is how twisted it gets. Someone sees you. They find out you've been married 20 years, 25 years, in my case, 35 years. And they think, wow, if I can seduce him and get him to leave his wife for me, we'll get married, and in 3 or 4 years, we'll have been married, wait for it, 39 years. That's how the seductive personality thinks. They think they can seduce you away from your spouse and step right in and just carry on. And they will have the history and the luxury and the fulfillment that you have in your current marriage. They can just pick up where your other spouse left off, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's twisted, right? Very twisted. But you'll find out in today's world, women try to empower themselves now. After the sexual revolution and the feminist revolution, they are now on the prowl for married men. If you've ever been in a gym, in a bar, in a supermarket, you know just how real this is. But at this point, men, the question to ask yourself right now is this. Are you robbing your spouse emotionally from not meeting their needs? See, we talked yesterday about how affairs start not because of a sexual desire, but because of an emotional void. And while we want to turn around and say, well, if my wife was meeting my needs emotionally, but the truth is, it first starts with you. Are you robbing your spouse emotionally? Are you meeting their emotional needs? And I would guarantee many men who are listening to this, you don't even know what your wife's emotional needs are. And that's where you start. Honey, I've been listening to the podcast. I want to make sure I'm meeting your emotional needs. Let's spend some time over the next few days and you can tell me how I can better meet your emotional needs. Don't object, don't whine, don't complain, don't be the lawyer. Just simply sit and listen and take notes. And when she's done, look her in the eye and say, I love you so much. I'm sorry I haven't been doing my part in meeting your needs emotionally, and I promise to do better. And then, in fact, do better. Gentlemen, tomorrow we continue on with how to affair-proof your wedlock, and it's going to get even better. So until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.